What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Escape to the Magic podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Dak.
And we are here. Actually, Randy's not with us today. So let's backtrack. The actual name of the podcast is Welcome. I'm sorry. That's not what it is. Escape to the Magic. Stop. Escape to the Magic podcast with Randy, Dak, and Ryan. Randy's not here today. He is on. We just had some scheduling issues.
Yeah.
That's all it is. He's laughing at me.
All right. Yeah. So Randy couldn't make it tonight. We just had some scheduling issues. But here and excited to talk about today's topic. Ryan, you want to lead us in?
Well, before we announce today's topic, let's go back a few episodes.
Okay.
And talk about a prophecy that we had. So on our episode, it was the most underrated things to do at Disney. We talked about a certain attraction, aka the Frontier Shooting Gallery.
Yeah.
And we said you should definitely try this attraction out because we didn't think it was going to be sticking around for much longer. Lo and behold, in the past week or two, they announced they are taking out the shooting gallery.
Yeah, they're going to replace it with a DVC lounge.
Those DVC people.
Randy's one of those DVC.
Yeah, Randy's one of those. I'm sure Randy's very happy about this announcement. So it's going to become a DVC lounge. And for those of you who don't know what a DVC lounge is, we don't either because we don't get to go.
Yeah.
We don't get to go in one.
So DVC is Disney Vacation Club. It's a shared ownership. We talked about it on one of our previous episodes about living at Disney and if we would love to live at Disney, which of course the answer is yes. But so DVC, Disney Vacation Club, is a shared ownership of a resort at Disney World. And so part of that is that they have lounges in each of the different parks that you can go and chill and hang out and cool down. And it's a nice little perk for being a Disney Vacation Club member.
It's a nice perk. And I think this speaks to something a little bit bigger, though. If you look at the rumors, or if you hear rumors that have come out in the recent months, I guess dating back to even last year when they announced this Beyond Big Thunder Mountain expansion, nothing concrete has come out yet about what they're going to do. But some breadcrumbs are being left. This being one of them, removing the shooting gallery and replacing it with the DVC lounge. Other things are being shut down. Obviously, Tiana's is coming out this week or next week. This week. Because by the time this thing drops,
yeah,
it'll be the week of Tiana's opening. So, but I know certain permits have been filed for other projects in that area. I think they're going to be gearing up for a big announcement here soon. Maybe even by D23, which is happening in September, I believe.
Yeah.
So
here's the other thing that I think is a big breadcrumb that's being left is this. They're talking about this revamping of Big Thunder Mountain. Again, I have not seen any official.
They're shutting it down for a while.
Yeah. But the unofficial official is that they're going to shut it down for a while and do a total overhaul on it.
Yeah, I guess the president of Disney World finally gave the okay to shut it down. And so one of the major differences between Disneyland and Disney World, well, I guess the ride at Disney World opposed to all the other ones around the world, is that the one at Disney World does not have the TNT effect.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So when you're going through the caves at Disneyland, for example, you get this nice... It looks like TNT is like the little wire is on fire.
Yeah, they do some fiber optics that kind of run up the mine shaft there. And then towards the end, both you get the explosion, but at Disneyland, you actually see visual effects that show the explosion happening and the smoke kind of has some lights that run through it and it looks a little bit better.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rumor is, and if someone can confirm this, but the rumor is that, the Disney World president, said, okay, let's do that. Let's do some other modifications and improvements to Big Thunder. So, it's going to be shut down for a while. So, long story short, that leads us into our topic today.
Yeah, today's topic is we talked about things that were underrated or that you should absolutely do if you go to Disney World, Disneyland. So today we're going to talk about everything that's overrated at Disney World or Disneyland. So what does overrated mean? First of all, let's just get this out on the table. Overrated doesn't mean these are bad things to do. It just means they're probably rated too high or too popular for what you get or what you might experience. And so that's kind of where we're going is like, hey, if you don't get the opportunity to do this, don't feel like your trip is ruined, is my take on how I approach today's episode.
Yeah, that's a good description. I would say, I think on this podcast, we definitely steer clear of telling people to not do something. We want people to experience Disney in their own way. And however that looks for you, that's going to look for you. Go for it. But there are some things that you should skip.
Yeah.
No. I'm joking. I like you said, I wouldn't say skip, but maybe they probably are a little highly rated for what you get out of them.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to cover both Disney World and Disneyland, so both coasts. And so I think we should just get into it. I'm gonna go ahead and fire off my first one, and I'm coming out guns blazing. So the first thing that I'm going to say, in my opinion, that is absolutely overrated is rope dropping.
Dude, that was atop my list.
Yeah. So here's the thing that I just don't understand about rope dropping is that you wake up early, you get to the parks, you know, an hour, sometimes 2 hours in advance, and you get to wherever it is. So actually, sorry, let's back up and explain what a rope drop is. For those of you who don't know, a rope drop just simply means that you're getting there at the park opening for whatever park that you're at that day, and there is literally a rope that they hold across from you to enter into the rest of the park, and then as soon as the official park time hits and the park opens up, they drop the rope and everybody runs off to whatever ride or experience is that they're trying to get to. So now that we understand that, my point is that you're going to see on social media and a lot of people telling you how to rope drop or that you should rope drop and that it's absolutely a necessary thing to do. So typically what it involves, and Ryan, you jump in here, don't let me talk too much, but typically what it involves is you wake up early, you get to the parks, you go to, let's just take Magic Kingdom, for example, you're going to go to right up to where the front of the castle is, and right at the beginning of the castle, before you can actually head into the lands, there's going to be that rope barrier that holds you back before the park officially opens. And it gets crowded. Like there will be several hundred, if not maybe even 1,000 people there waiting to rope drop, because the goal is that you're going to run to whatever your favorite ride is and be there one of the first ones in line, so that later on in the day when the times get up and get high, you're not waiting in a 2-hour line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, for example. So why did you have it on your list? I want to hear a lot of the same
reasons. I think for me, it's because you spend so much time pre-park opening. Like, for example, to your point, Magic Kingdom, you want to rope drop Magic Kingdom. Let's say you're staying off property. Like my family, normally we stay off property. So for us to rope drop Magic Kingdom, we are probably waking up at 5:30 to 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
We are in the car probably no later than 6:45. And again, if everybody's rope dropping that day, it's going to be crowded even on the drive in.
Yeah.
Parking is going to be crowded. When you get to the monorail, that's going to be crowded. It's just, it's an ordeal getting to the parking to begin with. And then you're waiting. And all you're really, I mean, I guess the benefit is, yeah, you get to get on one, maybe two rides with low wait times. But for me, it's counterintuitive because you've spent so much time getting to that point that I think had you just waited till the end of the day, those wait times are going to be down again. And you just do the rides you want to do. For me, it's like, I just don't see. No, let me backtrack. When we were there for the opening of Rise of the Resistance. So this was, I think, the one example of when rope dropping worked. It was because you had to be in the park right at 7. And it was all virtual queue. And it was a limited number of spaces. So if you weren't in the park, if you want, you know, again, there's probably, I mean, there were thousands of people there. We were up at 4:30 in the morning trying to get there early. So I think for that experience, rope dropping works. But they don't have that anymore.
Yeah, that virtual queue system has gone away. So, Yeah, that was my main point with that being one of the biggest overrated things is you see it posted and it's very popular to give a Disney hack, and part of the hack is rope dropping and getting there early. But to me, everything that you hit on previously, you get there, you wait for an hour and a half to 2 hours to not wait in a line later on in the day for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
So to me, it just seems like you're shifting your wait time is all you're doing. You're not doing anything
special.
That's
the perfect way to put it, is that you are shifting your wait time when you rope drop.
Yeah.
Now, as a park guest, and maybe you get early entry hours, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, rope drop, I'm 100% off board with rope drop.
Yeah. When you say park guest, you mean staying on site. So if you stay on property, then you do get into the parks a half an hour early. I would say that's worth doing.
Yeah.
Because that should get you onto a ride sooner, or at least get you in line before the other rope droppers, the non-resort guests, get to be able to get on those. The other thing that I would say, just, and then we'll move on to your next one, is to me, again, you're on vacation. Be on vacation, right? Like, we have to get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock on a school day or on a work day. Be on vacation. Enjoy that time. And then the other byproduct is that everybody's tired by, you know, midday or afternoon, and you can't stay unless you're, you know, psycho high energy or take a midday break. You typically don't stay until the end and watch the fireworks. So for me, I would just rather skip the rope drop, get there at a reasonable time and
close the park out.
And close the park out.
That's the way we like to do it as well. So, all right. So number two, and this is in no particular order.
Yeah, no.
It just so happened the rope drop was number one on both of our lists. I'm going to say, I've got like seven or eight things here. I'm going to say this as another overrated thing. I'm going to keep it to Magic Kingdom here. I'm going to say the new confectionery.
Oh, wow.
So they remodeled the confectionery. We saw it firsthand on our guys' trip this past January. Man, do you remember walking in there and just being utterly disappointed
in
the selection they had? So, I'm you know, all the Rice Krispie treats you could eat, bags of candy, yes, cotton candy, yes. What else did they have?
Yeah, it was a little disappointing for how hyped up it was. The one thing that I would say that I did like that they added was that popcorn station. I'm not a huge popcorn fan, but just that they had that, I don't know if you remember this or not, but they have a little station off to the side that now you can basically design your own popcorn. Again, if you're into popcorn, I think that that is a great add-on and addition, but I couldn't agree with you more. Everything is prepackaged and everything, like the confectionery used to be, and you can still semi get your caramel apples.
I was about to say, they still have the caramel apples.
All those other treats, but primarily probably 80 to 20 is all bagged, prepackaged candy and treats and stuff like that.
Yeah, there wasn't the display case of, you know, fudge and cookies and other what appeared to be more homemade items that I remember from the old confectionery.
And it seemed more congested than what it was previously, in my opinion. I thought it was maybe it was just me and it happened to be the time that we were in there, but it didn't seem to have the open flow.
Yeah, it was close to a park closing when we were in there, I believe.
Yeah,
so
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So the new confectionery, again, if you're looking for a Disney World treat to take home with you, you're going to want to hit the confectionery, but just so that, I mean, we are now calling this a kind of an overrated place to be based on the previous confectionery that was there.
And again, just to be clear, overrated, not bad, just probably not worth the hype that went into
it. Yeah, right? You know, and I'm thinking, like, is this one of those, again, if you go on social media, and we've talked about it before too, is like, you know, Disney has made budget cuts. Was this a budget cut? Yeah, I mean, they remodeled it. I you know, the layout is different, not as much offerings. Is that part of the budget cut? I don't know. I haven't read anything or heard anything about that, but it just seemed like from what they used to have there, it's not as good now.
Yeah, I would agree.
So,
all right, my next one was coming out guns blazing. I'm coming after a popular ride, Peter Pan. To me, Peter Pan's flight is overrated. It to me, there is typically, I've never seen it, I'll say it this way. Other than a special ticketed event, I've never seen the wait time at Peter Pan less than 45 to 60 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long one.
I understand that there's a lot of nostalgic value there for a lot of people, but for what that ride is and what it gives you, to me, is just, what does Randy say? The juice is not worth the squeeze. So much so that I think if it came right down to it, I think the queue is more exciting than the actual ride.
No, when they updated the queue, they did a good job with it. And the queue, if you could just walk through the queue and then hop out of line, that's probably an okay thing to do. But again, you're right. I think you're right. I think the ride itself, there's a lot of nostalgia there.
So, yeah.
I mean, this is a movie that came out in the 50s, right? Our generation, that was one of our probably favorite movies growing up. Because it was one of kind of an original to the parks, you know, just a beautiful score, but the ride itself, it needs to be, I don't think it's 45 seconds long, maybe a minute tops. It's a cool ride, but again, like you said, the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
Yeah.
Especially if you're waiting an hour, sometimes longer to get on.
Yeah. Peter Pan to me is definitely one of those attractions that, if you don't hit it, don't feel like you've missed out on anything.
Yeah. You know, and I would say if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, these guys are idiots, please send us a message and let us know why you love Peter Pan so much.
Yeah. Number one, you're correct. We are idiots.
We are. Yes.
But
Randy, Randy brings up the IQ of the show. He's not here. Yeah. So
we'd love to hear your counter arguments to these, but for us, Peter Pan is hitting that list.
Yeah.
All right. What's your next one?
All right. Let's stop picking on Magic Kingdom for a second. I'm going to go over. I'm just going to blanketly say Animal Kingdom.
Whoa.
Dude, let me tell you, this was a tipping point for me during our guys trip. Don't get me wrong. I love the Animal Kingdom when everything is functioning properly. When we were there in January and you were giving us some crap about it.
Yes, I was.
You did not even want, because we were park hopping. So we were at, I can't remember, was it Epcot or I can't remember, but we park hopped both days over to Animal Kingdom, and all we wanted to do was get on Everest and get on Flight of Passage. Well, the first day Everest was shut down, and Flight of Passage was posted like I think 90 to 95 minutes. It was close to a 2.5 hour wait.
Absolutely, yeah.
Safari was a 2 hour wait. Kilimanjaro Safari was a 2 hour wait. When one of those big three attractions, now, fortunately, the Kilimanjaro Safari does not break down hardly at all. But Flight of Passage and Everest seem to kind of alternate which one's going to break down. And when one of those attractions breaks down, it causes a ripple effect throughout the entire park. And right now, Dinoland doesn't exist. So there's no rides over there. Dinosaur is crap. So nobody's going to that. Speaking of overrated, Dinosaur is overrated.
Yeah.
But so if Everest was shut down like it was when we were there, everybody was going over to Flight of Passage. And it was causing, I think it caused that to overload. And it was slow and it was breaking down. It just was a miserable experience. So here's the caveat. Animal Kingdom is overrated, in my opinion, if one of those attractions is not operating correctly.
I can see where you're going with that. I mean, Animal Kingdom is like one of my second favorite parks.
It's a great park.
But I agree with you. I think if the big three, we'll call it that, right? If the big three are down or one of them is down, for as large as a geographic size as that park is, it can really start to feel crowded and cramped in there.
Yeah.
When one of those big three rides goes down. I mean, I like Animal Kingdom for different reasons. I like to go on the little trails and see the different animal enclosures and stuff. I mean, it's no secret that Everest is not on my favorite or top five list, but I can understand, you know, it is on my family's for sure. And so absolutely, when it's not functioning, that's a tough park to be in. And for whatever reason, it feels like it's a very hot park weather-wise. And so that just adds to the like agitation, in my opinion, of like, what are we doing here?
That's the general sentiment from Disney park goers, is that it's the hottest park of the four,
yeah,
in Florida. So, yeah, again, we love Animal Kingdom. Just if Everest is down for me personally, that's probably a top four ride for me in all the parks. It's a great roller coaster. The theming is great. The queue is great. But yeah, but our trip both days,
yeah,
Everest was down. It just really just turned me off to,
yeah, maybe this. It scorned you.
Yeah, it was a man scorned.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see that for sure. So I could get behind you on that. I just, again, I love Animal Kingdom, so it's hard for me to throw it in a negative light. But you're absolutely correct.
This entire episode's about negativity.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. All right, next one on my list that I had was, this is going to maybe be a little controversial, but we brought this up before. I'm going to loop these two together. It's Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest as restaurants.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Those are probably two of the most popular.
Don't turn us off yet. Hear Dak out.
Probably two of the most popular restaurants in all of Disney World. Hardest reservations to get. You might be able to argue a few other places, but I would say by and large, people are absolutely trying to get into Cinderella's Royal Table there in the castle. For good reason, and they're trying to get in to Be Our Guest. Again, for good reason. However, where I feel they are overrated is in their quality of food. Again, to me, I hate to keep coming back to this phrase, but the juice is not worth the squeeze. In fact, the juice probably doesn't even taste that great. So, again, to me, a poor man's Cinderella Royal Table that is much easier to get in. You get the exact same princesses. Is Akershus over at Epcot.
Did you pronounce that right?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I think you did.
Yeah. You get the exact same princesses, maybe one or two variations, but for the most part, you're getting all the same princesses. You're getting a much easier reservation. I don't know. I just think it's a better option of the two. And it's literally almost half the price. Literally almost.
Literally almost. You know what? Okay, so in terms of food, I'll agree with you. I will say this. If you have little kids, it's kind of a rite of passage to take them to Cinderella's Royal Table. Yeah. You are dining in the castle.
Yeah.
And it's, so speaking of hard tickets to get, have you seen kind of the stories out there that dining reservations at a lot of the restaurants are actually becoming easier and easier to get? Have you seen this?
I haven't seen this, but
I heard a couple.
I don't hear as many people complaining about I can't get into any.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast in there, and I forget the podcast, but I like to give them credit. But they were talking about how more and more people are mobile ordering from the quick services and foregoing the traditional ADR.
Yeah,
a lot of it has to do with pricing.
Sure.
It may be that Disney goers are being priced out. They're choosing other extras such as the Genie Plus service, staying on site as opposed to getting ADRs.
Yeah.
So I think Disney probably is taking note of that right now. Anyway,
yeah,
that's
maybe
not what this episode's about, but it reminded me of that what I heard.
Yeah. And then Be Our Guest from an ambiance and atmosphere. Probably one of the best restaurants.
Yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant.
On site. Just absolutely gorgeous. But the food quality is just average, I would say. It's not bad. It's not horrible. You're not going to walk out of there, you know, disgusted or disappointed, maybe a little disappointed, but not disgusted, right? It's just, again, for as popular as it is and as exciting as it is to get that reservation, I just think it's a little overrated.
And I think my wife would probably disagree with this because you and I are talking about this from a food perspective.
Sure. Yeah.
But from an ambiance perspective, from a charm perspective, just from a general beauty perspective, they're both of these restaurants are probably the nicest, most charming restaurants on property. So if that's what you're going for, then it's probably worth the price.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I get that too, right? Sometimes you will pay extra for something if you feel like the quality is worth the price, right? So I totally get that there are things that you do that is more about the ambiance and more about the experience than it is the actual product that you're buying. Just for me personally, again, as a hungry bear dad, I want to get some food value out of my, you know, overly priced meal.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Moving on. All right. So the next thing I have on my list, I'm going to go to the West Coast and go to Disneyland. And this is going to ruffle some feathers, especially Dax feathers. World of Color.
Whoa. Whoa.
So World of Color is Disneyland's nighttime show. And Dak, you can probably speak a little bit to what it is before I bash it.
Yeah, so World of Color, it's there at California Adventure. It is their nighttime show. It's a mix of, it's a water show where they take these water systems, they create this spray, and then they project an image onto the spray of the water. There's pyrotechnics, not a lot of fireworks per se, but there is definitely some pyrotechnics there. I mean, I'll let you give your bash and then I'll counter with my why I think it's the greatest option there at Disneyland.
It's pretty boring. That's my that's my bash on it. I get what you have said is that when you compare World of Color to Happily Ever After, and there's no comparison. Happily Ever After is the almost like the most perfect show ever created. And then you compare World of, it's just an okay show. I expected more from it, I guess. And maybe I just was, I don't know if I was tired that night or, you know, just disenfranchised by that couple arguing in front of us. But, you know, I just, you know, to me, it just didn't hit all the boxes. And I was a little underwhelmed with the show.
Sure. I can understand that. I think it can feel very cramped there. It can feel very disorganized at times there.
Yeah, the way that's true. I would agree with that.
My thing is that as far as being overrated, underrated, you know, really and truly, Disneyland has a fireworks show. Typically, it's only running on the weekends because of it being in a residential community. So that's, you know, rare for you to be. They run the regular projection show, just not with fireworks. The other show I would say over there is the Fantasmic show there on the Tom Sawyer Island. I would compare that with World of Color as far as being, you know, different, totally different shows, but as far as entertainment value, on par with each other. So that's my counter argument to what you're saying with World of Color is like, well, what other options do you have? If you're over there, yeah, you don't have Happily Ever After, unfortunately, which I don't even know if it would show well on the Disneyland castle given
no, not
its
at
size.
All. No, but, not at all.
But
now I forget, does World of Color, do they shut the entire park down? Can you do other things while?
So you can do the other parts of the park, but you're not going to be able to get onto Pixar Pier rides.
That's right.
So it shuts everything off behind it. Yeah. So again, to me, that's where I enjoy it is it's like, okay, well, this is the best show that they have. I would rank it over the Disneyland fireworks show, whatever it is that they're running at that time. And I would slightly rank it over Fantasmic over there. So to me, that's why it's not underrated or overrated, excuse me.
Okay. Well,
agree to your disagree.
We'll disagree on this one, but I respect your opinion on that. So
Yeah. All right. My next one is Halloween and Christmas parties.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So this one has not always been on my list of overrated items, and I'll tell you why. The biggest reason is cost. So let's back up one step.
The cost has skyrocketed.
The cost is out of control. So Disneyland, you have Oogie Boogie Bash. Come over to Disney World, you have Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, and then you have the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Probably within the last 3 to 4 years, I would say prices have close to, if not exceeded, doubled. I know Oogie Boogie right now, there are some nights that it's running anywhere from $150 to $190. That's one ticket, no food, no parking. That is just to get you into the parks. The thing for me is that at Disneyland, all the decorations, all of that, they're already up. I mean, they are at Disney World as well, but I would say the Disney World value, there seems to be a little bit more value there on the Christmas parties and the Halloween party, because they give you more than just the trick-or-treating candy. And then at the Christmas party, they usually have, you know, some sort of drink.
Cookies and hot cocoa.
Cookies and hot cocoa, yeah. But all in all, to pay for a 5 to 6 hour event, 1.5 times a regular ticket price, to me, is just gotten out of control. I just can't justify my family of five, by the time we get tickets, eat, park, you know, do all those things at the party, I'm in at $1,000 probably. And that just for a 5 hour event, I just can't justify that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause last time we did the party, I think the tickets were about 105, 109. They were not above 110, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they've been as low as sometimes $70 and $80.
Yeah.
But just like I say, over the past 3 to 4 years, they've doubled. They've more than doubled in some cases. And I just can't. And the other thing that I would say is that now, as crazy as this is, and I can see why Disney's raising their prices, because people are buying them at record rates, right? Like, there are several parties that will sell out immediately as soon as those tickets drop. And so if I'm a business owner, you know, if I'm Disney, absolutely, I'm going to keep raising the prices because people keep paying them.
And I think another overrated aspect of this is I can't stand, this goes back to, I think, just business in general. I hate seeing Christmas decorations in July. I hate it. And you start, it's more and more common now place to see people pulling out their holiday decorations in the middle of the freaking summer.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see Halloween or Christmas when it's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I just don't want. So for them to have Halloween parties starting in August.
Yeah.
I cannot get on board with that.
Yeah.
It's more, I don't want to say it's maddening, but it's like, it kind of is. Like, I don't want to go to a park and celebrate Halloween in 95 degree weather. I just don't want to do that.
Yeah. And again, from a business perspective, that's why they're doing it. Yeah, because they're like, hey, people will buy them. And so we'll just add a couple more dates. We'll just keep tacking them on into August. And as long as people keep buying them, then we're going to keep selling them.
Almost half the year there's going to be a holiday party.
Yeah.
August and December, there's a holiday party going on.
Right.
That's too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's why I put it on this list for me is that it's just, trick-or-treating and being able to dress up is not enough for me to spend.
No, I agree.
That kind of money. Yeah.
No argument for me on that one. Okay, so we got time for one more?
Yeah.
How many more do you have?
That's it.
That's it? All right.
That's what I
have. All right, let me do one more. So I'm going to say this, and I'm not a big merchandise guy, but I think generally speaking, for example, at the Main Street Emporium, I was a little disappointed with the merchandise offerings this last trip. Now, the caveat with this is, like, for example, if you go over to, and I forget the name of the little shop next to Haunted Mansion, I think some of those ride specific shops are different. I think you can find some pretty unique and interesting things, but I think generally speaking in the Emporium, the merchandise sucks.
Yeah. So I think Randy and I have talked about this a little bit before too, is it just seems like the quality and the originality of Disney, what I'm seeing a lot, like, is that Disney will see, or they have to see, some of these things that are being sold on Instagram and Etsy and some of these shop sites, and they're seeing the creativity that someone else is coming up with, And then they're just copying it and putting it in their parks. It's like, so I'll give you a perfect example. So there's this lady, and I apologize that I didn't look her up beforehand because this is just coming to my mind. But on Instagram, she takes spirit jerseys and then she paints the lettering of Disney World or Disneyland into different characters. So each letter that's in the word Disneyland or Disney World, she is painting it so that it looks like, you know, Toy Story themed or Incredibles themed. And they're awesome. Well, just this past week, Disney dropped a spirit jersey. Guess what's on the back?
Oh, wow.
Characters that are painted like, wow, like the way this girl does on Instagram. Again, you know, I don't fault them. If it's something popular, they're going to grab onto it and catch the wave and ride it. But to me, overall, the quality and just the desire to walk into the Emporium or World of Disney and purchase, you know, some clothing has really dropped down the last couple of years for me, where I've gone on trips, which is odd for me, but I've gone on trips and not gotten any sort of souvenir or merchandise whatsoever.
The only redeeming value that I see right now with buying merchandise in the parks is that you get that tag that says Disney Parks, you know, in the shirt tag or, you know, on the bag, where you can't get that anywhere else, right? So, yeah, I just, I've never been a big merchandise guy to begin with, but I think if they offered more unique things, better quality things, maybe less expensive things.
Yeah.
I mean, $90 for a sweatshirt that is okay quality, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, I just think it's hard because there are so many other sites and knockoff sites that are just creating just as creative and fun shirts and outerwear as Disney is right now.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of us out there that want to be, that want that uniqueness, that want, yeah, that creativity in our t-shirts and our bags and our jackets that you're not finding at Disney World or Disneyland or any of the parks merchandising, right? So, but again, I think if you go like the Haunted Mansion store, I love. I think it's cute, super charming, way overpriced. But we bought a few things from there before in the past. Just the whole merchandise thing to me needs an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You're right, though. I mean, it's fun when you're walking through the park and you have a unique shirt on that people are noticing and you see them noticing. It kind of makes you feel good.
You're sure.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm wearing this Kronk shirt.
All right. So magical scenario of all the things we've talked about. What's the one thing if Bob Iger came to you, Dak, I need you to fix one of these things that you talked about on your podcast, on your amazing podcast.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Appreciate you listening.
I'm going to give you $1 billion. Maybe not that much. I'm going to give you $100 million. I just need you to fix it. What would you fix?
Man, you're not fixing rope drop. So I think I would lean more towards the, I would probably lean towards the restaurants. I think those are two marquee restaurants for you. You know, nothing gets more marquee than Cinderella's castle and being able to eat in the castle. And so I would just go in there and I would hire some chef to come in and revamp the menu. And like, I guess the counter to that is that maybe that's going to bump the prices up even more. I don't know. But to me, that's what I would do is I would just like, hey, let's get some quality food in here. Let's make this a really superb experience from, you know, start to finish. Dad's happy because he gets fed a great meal. Kiddos are happy because they get to see all the princesses and, you know, Beast walking through. That's what I'd probably do as well, is like create more characters to come out during Beauty and the Beast, right? At Be Our Guest. I'd have Beast come out. I'd have a Belle there. I'd have, you know, maybe Chip or something like that. Something that would bring some more interaction and make that a full-on character meal.
Okay.
That's what I would do. How about yourself?
Man, I'm telling you what, I'm taking that money and I am going to fix the rides. I think thinking about what I said about Animal Kingdom, you know, just, and here's what people talk about happened in the past, right? Is that Disney lost some Imagineers over the past probably 5 years. And some of these Imagineers knew how the rides worked. And when they broke down, it was an easy fix because you would call, hey, Bob in Imagineering, hey, this is happening with Everest or this is happening with Flight of Passage. Can, oh, here's what you do to fix it. Well,
AB, backpack.
Yeah, just
up,
change
down,
out,
left, right.
Yeah, here's a paperclip. Just open it up and insert it into that little hole right there. That'll fix it. But yeah, some of those Imagineers left, were let go during the layoffs post COVID, and they haven't been brought back, or they've gone on to bigger and better things. So I think when you can't always trust that a ride is going to be up and operating for your trip, that's a little nerve wracking. Like yeah. When I plan, if I'm going to fork out $5,000 to $8,000 for a vacation to Disney World, golly, I want to know that if I go to Animal Kingdom, Everest is going to be working, that Flight of Passage is going to be working, that Big Thunder is going to be working. I want to know that. And I don't think it's too much to ask for the amount of money that people spend to go to Disney that things work. And I would say you hire back those Imagineers. You hire back the people that know how to fix things.
Yeah.
And just pay them whatever it takes. That's what I would do.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, things are going to break down. It's mechanical. These are machines. But to your point, it's like, okay, it's down, but shouldn't be down the whole day, right?
Everest has been around, since 1999?
Yeah.
Like, why does it break down 2 days in a row?
Yeah.
You know, and you said, things wear down. I saw a documentary. And this was a documentary. It was on a park in Ohio, Kings Point. Does that ring a bell?
Not
I can't. I'm butchering. I think that's the name of the park. It's actually a really, really nice, really big amusement park. They had a problem with one of the roller coasters pre-park opening. And they had some engineers come in, and they were able to fix it before the park opened.
Yeah.
And it had to do with like a braking mechanism, like something that was not serious. Like it was you can't operate this ride if it doesn't break all the way.
Right.
And they were able to fix it before the park even opened. I'm like, it's not that hard. And I'm sure there's an Imagineer listening like, these two freaking idiots. Like, they have no idea what we go through. Yeah. And you know what? You are right. We don't know what you go through. We do not know how things work. There's like some of these new attractions like Rise of the Resistance probably have 2 million lines of code.
Yeah.
That it takes to operate on which is why the one part of the ride that where the cannons are shooting into space hardly ever works anymore because... Right. Well, it's not integral into the ride completing, but it's just one of those small aspects of the ride that you're like, wow, it'd be really cool if this was working this time.
Yeah.
You know, which it seems that it's never working, at least in Disney World. So anyway, shall we get off our soapbox?
And, yeah, we're good.
Get back to positivity.
Yeah.
We love Disney.
We do. Yeah, we do love Disney. And again, just to be clear, to end on a positive note, these things that we're mentioning, I've been to several Christmas parties. I've been to several Halloween parties. I love them. I just think that there are times where things are a little bit overrated. And I think sometimes we watch social media or we get, in our head that if we don't do this part of the trip, then our trip is ruined. Don't ever feel that way. There's lots of great things to do at Disney, and it doesn't have to always be the top ticketed items. You can have a lot of fun there without hitting some of these things that we listed out here.
Man, speaking of overrated, social media.
Yes.
Specifically when it comes to bashing Disney.
Yeah.
Reading all these reviews about Tiana's Bayou Adventure, I'm flabbergasted at times. Like, you know what? It can't be that bad. I think people are just trolls and just want to find something negative about Disney, right? So anyway, we may have to cut that part out.
We're good.
Anyway.
All right. Give us a like and a follow on social media. Give us your overrated. What do you think is not worth doing at the park? Or maybe that it's not worth doing, but just you're okay with skipping. What's your most overrated items that you would skip? That's the part we need to cut out.
Yeah.
That you would skip at Disney World or Disneyland. Give us a like and follow Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and great show.
Thanks, guys. Next week.